Welcome to Three in the Key.
Porter can't find anybody. He gives it to Wall. Working against Bradley for three. Hold on. What a shot.
Bringing you in-depth basketball analysis and interviews from the Great White North.
And Greg Popovich will take his first to his 10th Western Conference Final.
With your hosts, Elias Elzane, Will Macklin, and Dave the Professor Tripp.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Three in the Key. Elias Elzane alongside Dave Tripp.
Woo!
Will Macklin.
What up, what up?
And Fuad Ahad.
What's going on, man?
All right, full house.
I like it.
There you go. You guys have all showed up once again.
Don't get used to it.
It's about to go down because Fufu is off to a huge trip coming up this
man.
Next weekend.
Yep.
He's got to go.
For real work.
Yeah.
We'll miss you, Fuad. But time being, he is here with us in the key, rocking out. Playoffs are slowly coming to an end, unfortunately. Everyone is just waiting for the NBA Finals. The Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's like we're not respecting the teams that are remaining.
You know,
the Celtics and Wizards are not even done yet, we're already talking about Cleveland being in the finals.
That's gonna be a fun game seven, though.
Yeah, it will be a fun game seven. Actually, we'll talk with James Hollis of B-Ball Breakdown and host of the Truth Pod on the Almighty Baller Radio Network.
Good network, I hear.
I think we're on it.
Yeah,
we've been on it for a while, something like that.
Dude, shut up.
Be cool.
Call the promo.
Celtics Wizards with him, Game 7. Celtics in general, great year for them. Second round of the postseason. Possibly an Eastern Conference Finals with the team they have. Do they go out and add another star? We'll ask him a few questions concerning the Celtics' future. And, of course, Game 7 and how that series has been.
We may as well ask about Pierce, too. Considering his name is his podcast.
Yes, Paul Pierce.
True.
That's of course.
Heard of him.
I've read about him too.
Some guy that played for a while, won a championship.
They could have used some truth last night in the fourth quarter. Yeah. How about that?
Ooh. Oh yeah.
Listen, Isaiah Thomas showed up.
You know who else showed up? John Wall. Where'd he go to school again?
Oh boy. This guy.
Unbelievable.
That's a wrap for this week.
I know. He's got like on every podcast.
Remember, guys, you can get a hold of us by email at the3inthekey@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at 3inthekey. Follow on Twitter at BasketPod. On Instagram, the3inthekey. And you can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, and, of course, on the Almighty Baller Podcast Radio Network. And now you can hear us locally in Ottawa.
That's right.
On Sunday nights at 8 o'clock on CKDJ 1079.
Ottawa's new dunks.
I think that's the slogan.
That's right. That's their tagline.
Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes and Google Play as well. Just reach out to us anytime. We'd love to hear from you. Spurs, Warriors, Western Conference Final, kicking off Sunday afternoon, Game 1.
Let's talk about Game 6, though.
Let's talk about how the San Antonio Spurs got to the Western Conference Finals without Kawhi Leonard.
Without Kawhi.
No Kawhi, no problem.
I guess so,
literally
right?
Every single person was saying.
Popovich no Kawhi, was no 23-10 when closing out a series on the road. Might be the greatest coaching stat of all time.
What do you think about this? Maybe they should bench Kawhi for the rest of the playoffs. I'm just throwing it out there.
Look at Aldridge. The guy lit it up.
Unbelievable,
man. He was
like
back to his trailblazer self. Like
that's
when he
true.
Wants that ball. He
pre-Dame, had the ball in his hands.
Yeah. Where was that, though? All series and in the first round?
With LaMarcus, it kind of seems like it's a mental thing. It's like a sort of like a when Kawhi is available to play, it's like, oh, man. He's there. Should I be doing this or should he be doing this?
But Kawhi's a special player.
Oh, of course. Exactly. And that it's, justified for him to think that. Like, this is our superstar. This is our go-to guy. When Kawhi's not playing, LaMarcus probably is thinking, who else is left? It's me. It's on
me.
I got to do this.
That's why I'm at Spur now.
That's exactly. And he showed up in Game 6 with that mentality.
It wasn't just him, though. Everyone showed up for the Spurs. They played incredibly. Oh. How do you lose a guy like that, Kawhi Leonard? He falls out of your rotation. How do you play this well game with all these stakes?
Closeout playoff game on the road.
It's Greg Popovich. That's the reason right there.
Greg Popovich. And I have to ask, how many coaches in the history of the NBA would you put above Greg Popovich? It's hard for me to look at all the coaches who have come through this league and be like, this guy is definitely a better coach than Greg Popovich.
I think Phil Jackson has to be up there just because of the amount of times he won.
And I was thinking about that. Obviously, I was sitting around, and after that game, I was like, wow, Pop is something else. Is Phil Jackson better than him? If Phil Jackson had Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, and Tony Parker,
I think he would have won.
I don't know if he would win. I think he would have won.
I think the triangle
would have
worked perfectly with those guys.
I think with Tim Duncan, it would have been incredible.
Yeah.
And the guys like Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, those foreign international players, guys, I think, have more of a basketball IQ than the guys that come out of the NCAA.
Yeah.
So I think that would have... The triangle is all about, getting it in your head first and knowing where you have to be with the passing and everything like that, and it leads to open shots. And you have the go-to guy in Tim Duncan, and then you have a guy in Manu Ginobili. But I don't think it would have worked for as long because you see how Pop rests these guys and stretched out their careers. But Phil Jackson probably would have won maybe more in a shorter time.
Yeah, I guess so. But Phil Jackson always needed that elite superstar in his lineup. He wouldn't have gone to Lakers unless Kobe was there, He didn't start coaching the Bulls without Jordan being there.
Well, he got hired to coach both those teams.
No, I know,
I don't think
he had any incentive to coach those teams. Where else would he have gone? I think he needed
was an assistant with the Bulls.
No, I know, I would give away the Bulls. But, going to the Lakers was like, okay, Kobe's there. That's why I want to win.
Well, Shaq was
there,
too.
Phil got handed a couple pretty nice hands, and he rode them. He made the best of the situation, right? The most decorated coach in NBA history. So,
and maybe GM now that we've seen this last season.
It's true. Hey.
For the wrong reasons.
I think that's what's kind of putting me down on Phil is just the recent years and how he's handling. He did this kind of a little bit without Twitter to the Lakers team, to Kobe, And we saw in those books how he was putting down some Lakers. It's just now he's doing it on a public scale on Twitter and putting down Carmelo and it's weird.
Yeah, and most recently at the Combine, they asked him about Melo, and he was saying, we want to see him have success somewhere. Doesn't mean New York. He was saying, next year maybe we'll be a playoff team. I don't know if you can, put us as a championship team. I don't think that's possible. He was saying stuff like, do you see Melo here next year? He's like, well, he has a no-trade clause in his contract. Decides where he wants to go.
Sure.
When it comes to those two coaches, there's a clear difference in personalities. Do you think Greg Popovich would ever come out and say those things about any of his players?
No.
Like, Phil isn't quick to remind you who signed him to that no-trade clause either, right? Like, let's not forget about
that,
right?
That's true.
Phil offered him that no-trade clause, painted himself into this corner, and now he's pointing the finger at Melo and saying, well, if you left, we'd probably be in a better shape. Phil, come on, man. Come on.
Going back a little off track here, but it was a good little discussion, Popovich and Jackson. But Popovich is a great coach closing it out. Harden, though, disappeared.
Yeah, that's the other knock.
He wasn't there. I don't think you can judge him on one game. Obviously, everyone will, and this is
people
what stands
are saying
out.
Now, like, this is why he shouldn't be the MVP.
Oh, my
but people
Lord.
That don't understand is that the MVP voting finished at the end of the regular season.
No, I know.
Okay?
But they think the choke job is like, oh, yeah, because Russell Westbrook definitely won, too. So, what are you talking about?
Yeah, last I checked, it was Harden that eliminated him.
For sure.
Yeah, he had two really, really bad games this series, but... But it's against the San Antonio Spurs, the best defensive team in the league. Yeah. I don't understand how people can't look at that and say, oh, well, that might have played a factor.
It's because he's an MVP candidate at home, right? That's number one, right? So that's the big deal here. And I think he should have had higher numbers. Everything was below 10. What was his numbers?
10, 3, and 7.
That's why you're looking at that.
He was too passive. In the game, I found early on in that game, trying to find his teammates, turned the ball over. He should have been aggressive and looking for a shot, driving to score, shooting, his shot and not looking for his teammates. In a game like that, especially with no Kawhi, who's been great on you the whole series, you got to get your points first, get yourself going, draw more attention on defense, and then start finding your teammates. But, another guy is Ryan Anderson. He shot... at home in that series, like 12% from beyond the arc. 45 on the road, but 12 at home. Like, that doesn't
cut it
either.
Took him right out of the starting lineup, so...
Exactly, but how do you play so well on the road and not at home?
Yeah,
it just doesn't make sense.
Ryan Anderson, by the way, is a minus 30 in that game. Yeah. So he wasn't effective off the bench either. So.
And the Spurs were only up by 7 at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah.
And they won by, like, what, 20-something? Almost 30 points.
35
by,
or something.
By the fourth, you're up 30. Yeah. So it's like, I think also maybe a little on D'Antoni, make an adjustment here. You know, maybe play Lou Williams a little more. Maybe play Decker a little more. You know, these guys that, I don't know, just obviously James isn't in it. 36 minutes of trash.
Honestly, though, like it's hard to understand. It's man, like obviously James Harden is he's still like I don't get how you can say oh he's no longer the MVP. Like let's ignore all of that talk. No. Clearly, that it has nothing to do with anything. But Mike D'Antoni did come out and say like, hey, looking into next season, maybe I'll rest James Harden more. Because that dude played a lot during the regular season, and he's been playing through injuries, and he's having to play, you know, match up against a guy like Jonathan Simmons, who's got every motivation in the world to play his best, having to replace Kawhi Leonard.
Sure.
So it's, you
that
know,
guy has a phenomenal story, by the way, Jonathan Simmons. But going back to, I should have rested him more, I look at the guys that played before, like, you know, the Jordan, Kobe, they didn't rest. They went out and played in the playoffs 38 minutes a night. They got it done. Yeah,
definitely.
Exactly. Played through injuries. Kobe won rings with broken finger, you know, a hurt knee.
Everybody wins.
Everyone's banged up.
Orlando, but sure.
You got to win four series.
Doesn't matter. Orlando won the East. It doesn't matter
who
you play.
In the East, yeah.
Yeah, but they won the Eastern Conference.
Sure.
They came out of the
got
East.
Really lucky. Garnett got hurt. But yeah, go on.
But how is it? How is that Kobe's fault or the Lakers' fault? The next year they beat Boston in 7.
Really count as a championship is all I'm saying.
All right. They won. I don't get it.
Just fucking you.
But no, it's true. Like,
so I don't think the resting is an excuse.
It is.
Now it's working because you look, oh, San Antonio rested their guys. They're in the West Finals. Golden State rested their guys. They're in the West Finals.
Well, San Antonio rested Kawhi and they just destroyed the Rockets. So I don't understand.
Yeah.
Hurt or not, he didn't play and they crushed the Rockets.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe they should rest Harden next time. I don't know.
It's super weird. But look at, if you're going to rest, for Russell Westbrook, that was all the excuse for losing to the Rockets in the first round. Oh, this guy's so tired. Look at him. He's trying so his hardest out there, but he's so tired from playing the way he always plays.
You know, I've never seen Russell Westbrook tired ever. I've never seen him slumped over. Oh, I'm exhausted. I don't think he sweats. He just goes.
To be like, oh, he's taking bad shots because he's so tired.
He takes bad shots every game. It's Russell Westbrook.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh my lord.
Like, I don't know. Maybe Harden down the road. Maybe if they took a couple games off. I mean, I'm kind of leaning towards maybe the rest is the best way. Just because look what's happening. No one cares about this season. They only care about the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but rest or no rest, since game 6, you're facing elimination, you're at home. How do you get spanked like that?
No, it's true. I don't think for one game, I don't think it's an excuse. But maybe it's just the Spurs were better that night. Popovich is a better coach than D'Antoni.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and agree with you that they were better that night.
Yeah. I think so.
D'Antoni 0-5 against Popovich in the playoffs.
Exactly. It's in his head now, maybe.
And, you know, people are worried about the Spurs getting older, and Tony Parker is on the way out, and Ginobili's going to retire at some point. I mean, and you look at the young players on this team, like Jonathan Simmons coming through, they're going to be good forever. Yeah. They're never going to turn into a team that's not good. As long as Pop's there and Kawhi, this team's going to be challenging
maybe
every
Chris
single
Paul
year.
Next year.
Oh, my.
Oof. Chris Paul or Kyle Lowry.
But you know, if you get Kyle Lowry, that's a guy who hasn't performed in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm sure Popovich can motivate him.
I know. Under Popovich, it's going to be different.
He wouldn't be the go-to guy.
Casey doesn't make any
either.
Adjustments whatsoever.
Yeah,
exactly.
Popovich is the type of guy that puts you in the spot to win and
he
get
knows
your shot.
Exactly where you need to be.
And having a guy like Kyle Lowry next to Kawhi, I think will take pressure off Kawhi on the ball handling. Mm-hmm, they need another guy who can bring up the ball, who can...
That's a pretty scary big three.
Who can
Aldridge.
Set up the offense, who can get guys... the ball in positions to score because Kawhi does all that, and especially now it's higher usage because Tony Parker's out, but Tony Parker's older, obviously. Mm-hmm. But you bring in Kyle Lowry, and obviously then you're bringing Tony Parker off the bench. That's not bad playing Parker,
well,
you know,
Mills
24 minutes.
Mills?
Sure.
He's Patty playing Mills. Very well.
DeJounte Murray is also, he's going to come off for
he
sure.
He looks like he's going to be a really good, he's huge too, eh? And they haven't played point guard a lot. He's going to be a good player.
That team is scary to think about,
Popovich 20-6 against D'Antoni in the playoffs.
Crazy. It's almost hard to believe that Murray was a freshman last year in college. Eh? He looks so poised out there. Maybe it's having Pop around him for a year. You know what I mean? But like, he played with Murray or with Marquise Chris last year in Washington, and Chris had an up and down year, but Murray was consistent for most of the year. And it's hard to believe how good this team is at developing players. It's just mind blowing to me.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about game one then, because this is funny enough. This is the first time this Warriors team, they didn't play the Spurs at all the last two playoffs. They didn't go through the Spurs at all. They got beat. Yeah. The Spurs got beat by the Clippers, and they got beat by the Thunder last year. So that's the big question mark. I know we're still going to be like, hey, Warriors probably sweep or even maybe
five,
but it's pretty interesting to think about. Hey, you know what? The last team that beat the Warriors in the playoffs was the Spurs, like in the West.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting if Kawhi can come back healthy. That you may not need Kawhi against the Rockets every game, but you'll need him every game healthy against the Warriors. So that'd be an interesting thing to keep an eye on for sure.
I think he'll be healthy. He's had what? I think it's going to be 4 days total rest.
Sure.
Treatment on that ankle coming up to Sunday afternoon.
Is there a rest versus rest situation here?
No, absolutely not. Not with Kawhi. He's going to have the ball in his hands a lot, though. He's going to be generating a lot of offense. I think they're going to take LaMarcus Aldridge out of this series. You know, at the beginning,
play him off the
court. Yeah, at the beginning in the Houston series, it worked in Houston's favor. But after that, Popovich found a way to get Aldridge going, especially in that game six, his best game of this series. Maybe his best game as a Spur.
Yeah.
Arguably, ever, probably, so far in his career.
Can't think
there
of any off the top of my head. Yeah. It's insane.
I think just the Warriors are too good offensively and on defense, where they switch everything. They rebound well. Draymond gets it. He can push it. Anyone who gets the rebound can just get out and run. From guys that are coming off the bench in Livingston and Iguodala to starters in Draymond,
and
KD,
pass the ball.
Curry, Klay Thompson. They just want to run. Pass. They don't care who's shooting it. As long as that ball's getting in the net, if it's right at the rim or if it's a three-point shot, they're doing it so well. And it's amazing. And they're just sweeping everyone. I think San Antonio might get a game just because Kawhi is going to have to be like play 48 minutes almost, I think, for them to even win.
Yeah,
it's that some people have said the playoffs are ruined because of this.
Because it is.
Because Golden State, we know they're going to win, and Cleveland, we know they're going to win. It's like just give the finals already.
I think
to June 1st.
We had this conversation on Friday, I think. Me and Elias a little bit. Yeah. I was just saying, like, it's so predictable. That being said, it's going to be the best series ever when we get there.
Well,
so
I'm talking to kids. Like, I've been talking. Like, I work at a youth center, and I'm talking to them. They're like, "Oh, I'm so bored of the Cavs and Warriors." I'm like, how are you bored of this? Like, I know you're just a child, but like, why do you want to see the Wizards versus the Blazers? You know,
exactly.
You want to see.
You want to see best on best.
The Raptors versus the. Versus the
I'm so tired of the Celtics and the Lakers,
the
man. This bird guy makes it every year. What's going on?
That's was it like that? I wonder in the 80s. Like,
yeah,
that,
I don't
like,
think
oh,
so.
The Lakers and the Celtics again. Great rivalry of sports.
What a bummer! And they had to get through the Bulls again to get there. Like, jeez, and the Pistons.
That's exactly what Kobe said, though. That's exactly what he was asked. Like, do you think it's bad for the game that, you know, like it's going to be the Cavs and the Warriors again? He said, no. How in the world could this be bad?
No,
you need this
I
rivalry.
Beat the Pistons. Remember that? That was boring.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but I think why people think it's bad is because there's no competition for the Warriors and Cavs getting to the finals.
It's true.
The
like
Lakers
said,
played good competition.
Well, the Pacers aren't that good, but go on.
I'm talking about the 80s. The Celtics, like we mentioned, had to play, you know, the Bulls, the Pistons, and stuff like that. I don't know. What's in your coffee today, Will?
I'm loving it, man. Give me some.
But no, that is true. Get it? But speaking of the Warriors, I've always said the Spurs are, if there's going to be a team to give them troubles in the West getting to the finals, it's going to be the Spurs.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to give them those troubles in this series. And it depends on Kawhi Leonard. I hope he's healthy enough, but man, I'm excited for tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure.
I know you guys are tired of hearing about Kentucky. Could we please talk about the Wizards game a little bit here?
Okay, last day. Well, we'll talk about it with James, obviously. He's the Celtics guy.
So we can talk
a little Wall if you want. Just
well, no, it's all good. He's a pretty special player, though. And the Wizards are coming around. I like
Second best player in the Eastern Conference?
I think so, too.
It's gonna be a real good Game 7. That's going to be one of the games to watch this playoff. Yeah, there haven't been a ton so far, but this is going to be one of the ones to check out.
Every home team has
won, right? Yep.
So that's what makes this interesting. I mean, they barely got by the Celtics at home.
The Celtics were all black, eh? They were trying to send
a
message.
I know. I hope the Wizards don't do that. I hope they don't wear all black.
Well, the Wizards are actually 1-0 wearing
all
black when they show up to the game. Celtics 0-1.
What did Wall say after he hit that shot? He's like, "You don't show up to my place while wearing all black."
Yeah. And calling it a funeral. That's what you gotta say.
Yeah, and so that was.
I'm loving this series based off of just the hatred and the rivalry.
Yeah,
and the trash
talk. Off-court drama.
Yeah, I love it.
This kind of saved the NBA playoffs a little. Yeah. Bit, as far as entertainment going throughout, because we'll talk about maybe in the third segment. I wanted to talk about Barkley, what he said about comparing the two leagues in the playoffs, but. I think this saved it. I mean, I really, really hoped the Rockets and Spurs went to Game 7, but it's really funny just to think that these teams are just playing each other out well.
Sure.
Two rest.
Yeah. The two Giants are waiting.
Await them. But that being said, who gives the Cavs the better run for their money, the Wiz or the Celtics?
I think the Celtics. Yeah.
I think the Celtics have more to throw at LeBron defensively.
Even after that blowout, though, we saw just before the playoffs, like a week and a half before the playoffs, they blew him out, man.
Elias and I were talking about this earlier, and it was, the sets that the Celtics can run, or it's they're so much more adaptable.
Honestly, I think it's going to be still 4-0, either if it's Wizards or Celtics.
No,
I think the Celtics have a little more, even offensively. I think they have like three options who can score, and Avery Bradley, Isaiah Thomas, and Al Horford. Outside of John Wall and Bradley Beal, who you know are going to give it to you, sometimes Markieff doesn't get it going. Martian Gortat has been a ghost this playoffs.
Yeah.
So they really lack. Their bench is lacking as well. I think the Celtics are deeper, and I think they got a little more on the defensive side and matchups to throw and try to slow down LeBron. But obviously, we don't see Cleveland losing. And maybe if one game goes weird for the Cavs, they'll lose one and it would be over in five. But I highly doubt that.
It might be one of those games where they did versus the Pacers, or they just
and they have a shot at winning at the end. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And they ended up, Pacers just didn't make their shots.
Yeah.
But I think Game 7 could go either way. I still do. I think that the Wizards are a tough matchup for the Celtics.
Well, I had the Wizards winning against the Celtics in six, but we'll see how it goes. Mm-hmm. I still got to stick with the Wizards. That was my pick, but
yeah. I like the Wizards too.
We'll see how it goes. James Hollis of B-Ball Breakdown and host of the Truth Pod on the Almighty Baller Radio Network joins us next to talk more Celtics and Wizards.
People don't understand that this is real life for us. You know what I'm saying? And the situation with Ray is very sensitive. You know, and I think that when we all talked about doing this reunion tour, we was talking about, you know, guys that we consider loyal and part of this group. Just being honest, my 2 cents, man, when Ray decided to go to the Heat, I feel like he moved on. And he went to pursue another ring, and he got another ring. Shout out to him. And that's it.
Hello, and welcome back inside the Key Elias Ozen alongside Dave Tripp. Will Macklin and Fuad Ahad, and we're happy to be joined by James Hollis of B-Ball Breakdown and host of the Truth Pod on the Almighty Baller Radio Network. Hey, James.
What up?
Back on.
Returning champion.
That's exactly it.
We like to have our returning champs visit us from time to time. So James, obviously one of those.
And it's 8:30 over there. So he's 8:30 the morning in San Diego. So it's...
San Diego.
Saint Diego.
James, I got to start. Celtics Wizards, great game. Maybe the best game of the postseason so far, that Game 6 where... Your Celtics showed up all in black for a funeral that didn't end up well. They lost there at the buzzer. They couldn't get their shot off or in by Isaiah. But a great game all around. What were your thoughts on that Game 6 and leading into the big Game 7 on Monday night?
I thought it was kind of weird that, especially with everything Isaiah had just went through with his sister just passing, that they would do the whole all black motif thing. You know, that was really weird to me.
I thought the same thing, actually. But that was like, kind of weird.
It seems really kind of tasteless and just like
poor timing.
You know, so whatever. And my only thing I said about it was, well, if they're doing this, they better win. And, you know, they were a couple seconds away from that happening. John Wall hit an incredible three. It's just sad because I think Horford, Bradley, and Isaiah Thomas combined for like 74 points. And they only scored 91 points as a team. That's unacceptable, you know. Jay Crowder had 10, and like the bench really just did nothing. So it's a really tough loss. And I know momentum is not really a thing that goes game to game, but the Wizards have shown they can come back against the Celtics. The Wizards show they can, you know, they can give a, you know, put a big lead on the Celtics, and the Celtics seem like they're just kind of operating, and the Wizards are the one who either win or lose these games. So that's what's kind of worrying me.
Well, we saw a similar effort from the Wizards last night. Most of their points were put up by Beal, Wall, and Markieff Morris. Do you think that the Wizards have what it takes to roll into Boston and win this Game 7 against the Celtics at the Garden?
They definitely can. But, I mean, I think all season this series has been won. You know, every game has been won by the home team. So, that has nothing to do with future outcomes, right? And so the Wizards definitely can. That last game, I think, was a real confidence boost for them because they coughed up a lot of leads to the Celtics. And now for them to come back from, I think the deficit at one point got to maybe 8 or 9, might even double digits at one point. But I know that, you know, that they had they were down by at least 5 or 6 to the Celtics for most of the game. And then for them just to, you know, the defensive pressure got to Isaiah. He coughed it up. And for some reason, he tried to play hero ball and John Wall blocked the shot. That's all confidence boosting things. So, I think they know their season's on the line, and going into Game 7, they have the tools to do it. Let's see if Boston can step up and match their intensity in Game 7.
Who have you looked at other than Isaiah Thomas on the Celtics team who's really stepped up? I thought I've seen Bradley, Horford, Crowder to a degree, but who do you like right now to step up other than Isaiah in Game 7?
It's got to be Crowder. I think Isaiah is going to be really good. I think Isaiah is going to bring it. Bradley's been outstanding the last couple of games. Horford, after, you know, those games they lost in Washington, Horford looked lost as far as on the rebound on the boards. And he looked so much better last couple of games. He's locked in from three. So Horford's going to be fine. I think Isaiah and Bradley and Horford are going to be fine. Crowder has to step up. They need 15 to 20 from Crowder. And another Kelly Olynyk off the bench has to be more aggressive. He can't just, you know, I think he had, 4 points last game. He has to be more aggressive and actually impact the game. When Markieff Morris is a bigger impact than the whole bench by himself, that's a problem.
You know, Will mentioned Avery Bradley. This is a guy who I personally think is the second best player on the Celtics roster. He was second in scoring, rebounding, and steals during the regular season. I don't know if it's me, if I'm not looking in the right places, but I feel like he doesn't get mentioned enough in the Celtics' success. Why is that?
I'm going to have to respectfully disagree about the second best player.
Really?
So let me ask you, who's the first best player?
Isaiah.
Nope.
Who is then?
Horford is the first, is the overall best player on that team. Isaiah's the best scorer, obviously, and he's the focal point of the offense. Al Horford is the best basketball player on that team. He has no real weakness in his game other than the rebounding inconsistency. You know, he can shoot. He's probably the best passer on the team, best, you know, individual – well, not individual defender. He's the best interior defender. He's the best player on the team. And Isaiah is the second best, and I go Bradley is the third.
All right.
Well, with that
– Yeah.
So –
Sorry. Oh yeah, and Avery Bradley didn't get enough recognition. Look, I forgot your question because it was about Avery Bradley.
Yeah.
He didn't get enough recognition. You know, when we talk about two-way players in the league, of course, we know Kawhi and LeBron and, of course, Kevin Durant's proven himself. And so we're talking about Chris Paul. He's not them, but the fact that he led, like, he's one of the leading rebounders on the team, and he's been up such a dead-eye shooter, and he's shown that he can actually, you know, get buckets not just on his own but in the floor of the offense. He's a very underrated player.
Coming into the season, I 100% agree with you that Al Horford is the best player on this team. Everything's on him. With your center grabbing 6 rebounds, like, is that enough to you? And, you know, should
it's
he be
not
doing more than that?
Yeah, in a perfect world, you want him to get 9 to 11 or 12 or more. You know, you want him to get as many rebounds as possible in a perfect world. The problem is they have him floating on the perimeter so much. Offensively, he's basically a floor stretcher. And sure, we've seen him, he can score inside a little bit. And like even yesterday, he had a couple of really nice rebounds. He battled. He went up, got him in crowds. He tries. It's just the fact that I guess my main problem is that high intensity and energetic big men give him a problem because he's not that athletic. He's not unathletic. He's not that athletic. So, sure. It's Boston's Achilles heel. We can't be surprised now. We can't come into this series, and when they signed Al Horford, we knew he wasn't a good rebounder. You know, he got dominated by Tristan Thompson last year in the playoffs. But for everything else he brings to the game, you just deal with that.
So, James, we were talking about this before we started the interview on the pod. We were talking about after Game 7 in the next series, who do you think poses the greatest threat to the Cavs? Do you think either one of these teams has a chance to take some games off the Cavs in the conference final?
This is – I hate to be the Debbie Downer, or I guess the Darren Downer, whatever you want to call it. No, this is how the league is right now, man. The Spurs and Houston – scrapped for the chance to get their heads beat in by the Warriors, and right now this is an epic series, and it's going to be anticlimactic because next series is going to be over in probably five, against the Cavs, either team. Maybe the Wizards and their athleticism and John Wall's brilliance can steal one game if LeBron kind of, takes his foot off the gas, and if Boston gets in, maybe Isaiah can go, get red hot and the team start, they just hit all their threes and they can take a game too. But I think maybe the Wizards give them a little bit better matchup for the athleticism. But, yeah, either way, it's over in five at the very most six. So.
Who do you got winning then, game seven?
I think that's a rhetorical question.
It doesn't matter. Let me take that back. Do you think that this is good for basketball or is it bad to have the Cavs and Warriors win all the time?
I think big picture, it's good for basketball. It gets people watching, and it brings in new fans. It's a good talking point. And it gives everybody a clear villain, I guess, in both conferences, a clear goal of I think non-Cleveland and non-Golden State fans are going to root against them. And then LeBron James also has his own fans who want to root for Cleveland for that reason. And Steph Curry and Durant are, developing fans who just love their style and love scoring. So, it's overall good for basketball, and I think it's not going to last forever, right? And I don't think anyone who's watching now is going to stop watching because Golden State's so good. I did make the point that they're not compelling. There's nothing compelling about Golden State. At least the Cavs gave us a first round that was really close, and even against the Raptors, that couple games that you were into because you think, oh, they might lose this game. You have no such thing with the Warriors, and that's how they were all season. So it's fun, and I think the most fun thing is thinking who is going to come and topple these teams. How is it going to come to an end in a couple of years? But I get why people say it's bad for basketball, but it's never about competition, though, right? It's never been about competitive balance in the NBA. There's always been a couple of dominant teams. Right now, the two dominant teams are just way more dominant than everybody else.
And, James, I got to ask you, obviously, about Paul Pierce. He hung him up earlier a couple of weeks ago, actually, when the Clippers lost to the Jazz. What can you say about, if you can sum up his career? Obviously, he's the first ballot Hall of Famer, and he played for the Celtics for the longest time, brought a championship there. What are your thoughts on Paul and what he brought to the game?
So I respect Paul Pierce for what he brought to the game. And he's going to go down as one of the most underrated players, I think, in the NBA history, because people forget in his prime, he was maybe a notch below, but he could go almost toe-to-toe with the Kobe Bryant and the Tracy McGrady's and the Vince Carter's. He was like a 26, almost 26, 27, 5-5 guy, and he can get his own shot, and he was hitting threes, and he actually used to defend in his prime. So I think it's sad. I think a lot of people don't remember prime Paul Pierce and how he stuck with the Celtics through the bad times. And, yeah, he was part of the bad times as far as his attitude and some of the, he wasn't always the best Celtic, but he stuck through it, and he made it, and, was the leader of that championship team. So it does bother me that once he left, he went team jumping the way he did a little bit. So I don't maybe have the fondest sure, he's retiring, and I respect what he did in Boston. But yeah, the team, you know, the ring chasing after you earned your own was kind of whack to me. You know, going to went to the Washington Wizards, and now he's been with the Clippers, and he looks. It's time for him to hang it up. You know, he's just not. I'm glad he's retired. He should have retired probably 2 years ago. He's just not really productive NBA player anymore.
Is he a top 20 player all time?
I'm sorry?
Is he a top 20 player all time?
Top 20? I don't think so.
Okay. No problem.
Maybe top 30 or 40. I know definitely I'll give him top 50.
Yeah.
Not top 20.
Okay. Well, he was in the news a bit this past week. The Celtics reunion, we wanted to talk to you about that. Get your take, being a big Celtics guy, on the whole situation about being babies about Ray Allen leaving. As Paul, as you just talked about, even Paul Pierce left them. I know it was older, way older, but Ray Allen going to the Heat and how they all kind of whined about it on national television.
I'm rolling my eyes about it because, I mean, it's like, I guess we shouldn't invalidate how people feel, right? Whatever you feel about things, that's your feelings about it. And we could think it's justified or not, but, I mean, that's how you feel. You do seem to be, you know, Paul Pierce and Ray Allen, not Paul Pierce, not Ray Allen, Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett seem to be really over-emotional about it. You know what I mean? And it's been years, guys. They were trying to bench Ray Allen for Avery Bradley. He's a Hall of Famer. I can get where he was coming from. Sure, he left without telling you it's a business. They would have traded him without telling you. You know what I mean? You would have heard about the trade on ESPN, probably. Or unless Doc would have texted you. But still, it's silly. But I guess that's what makes Kevin Garnett special, right? He was an emotional guy. And, yeah, I don't like them discussing, talking like the breakup, but it is what it is. I don't like that side of the NBA, the off-court kind of silly dramatics.
So the postseason for the Celtics is pretty exciting this year. I mean, it's probably going to wrap up pretty soon, and either in a couple days or in a few weeks anyway. The postseason is going to be very exciting for the Celtics because they got the first overall pick if the lottery goes their way. What do you think? Who would you pick first overall, or would you flip that pick for a superstar?
I would definitely trade it for Paul George or Jimmy Butler. I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Who's your preference?
Probably Paul George. Even though the contract's coming up a little sooner, I don't know. I think he just seems to be a little more of a complimentary player. He's a better three-point shooter, right? So I guess when that ball's swinging around and he's catching the perimeter, I have more faith in him as a shooter, as a floor spacer. I think him and Isaiah would work really well together. I like Paul George's slithery kind of team defense, right? Jimmy Butler's a strong on-ball defender. He's not a bad team defender, but I think Paul George is more of that kind of disruptive, long, shoot the gap, help side kind of defender, you know, take charge. I think he'd probably fit in a little bit better with Brad Stevens.
James Hollis of B-Ball Breakdown and host of the Truth Podcast on the Almighty Baller Radio Network. Thanks for joining us inside the queue. We appreciate your time.
Oh, man, you got done with me already?
Elias had another one.
I had another question, but Dave took it. I was going to ask you if you had to trade for a superstar this season. I was going to give you three options: and Melo, Paul George, and Butler.
My bad.
Who is it going to be? And you picked Paul George. You answered Dave's question. Well, he took it from me, but it's all good.
With that, let me add to it. We were talking about closing the gap, looking at the Cavs and the Warriors to see that's the benchmark of where to go. Do you think adding Paul George would give the Celtics more of an edge to reach that the Cavs benchmark?
Well, and I want to say yes, because we saw the Pacers go, come down to the wire every game, you know, against the Cavs. And, you know, that's Paul George and Jeff Teague and a bunch of kind of scrap. You know, Miles Turner's going to be really good. Shout out to Miles Turner. But right now, the Pacers weren't good this year, and they still gave the Cavs all they could handle. And so you would think adding Paul George would really kind of push it a lot closer. But, again, let's look at Boston's deficiencies. They still need a rim protector. Because LeBron James and Kyrie would just eat at the in the lane against the Celtics right now. They still need Paul George, the other creator, and they still need rebounding. You know, so Paul George is a strong rebounder from the small forward position, but LeBron's a much better rebounder, and so is Tristan Thompson. So it would close the gap. So if we had Paul George's series, then I would say it'd go six. you know, but I still think the Cavs would take it pretty confidently. I say that, but yeah, man, the Cavs are just, and that's not an insult to Boston or to Paul George. It's a tip of the hat to how good the Cavs are right
now. Yeah, LeBron is just on another level.
He's knocking on that door. I was one of those people who always said Michael Jordan is the greatest. Everyone else is at his kneecaps. No, you know, I watched Mike in his prime, and I've never seen anything like it until LeBron James, who is actually coming very, very close. And in a couple of years, when people are saying that LeBron James is overtaking Michael Jordan, it won't even make me upset. It'll be something I'll debate still, I think, but it won't make me upset.
That's pretty interesting, because I don't think he'll pass Jordan. That's just my opinion. What about Gordon Hayward, though? Do you think that's a guy who can come into Boston? Obviously, he has that connection with Brad Stevens from Butler. Do you think he can add to Celtics' success?
I mean, sure, he's a help. Gordon Hayward's good. I think he's right, maybe with, you know, maybe a half or quarter step below the Butlers and Paul Georges of the game. His greatest strength is also what I kind of don't like about him as far as a fit in Boston, is that he doesn't really force the issue. That's great. You can get 20 to 24 in the flow of the offense, you know. That's awesome. And then, but we need a kind of game-changing offensive force in Boston. So he'd help, obviously, and I'd be fine with that, but that's not a championship four.
Okay. Well, there you go. James Hollis of B-Ball Breakdown and host of the Truth Podcast on the Almighty Baller Radio Network. Thanks for joining us in the key, and now I think we're done with you.
Last thing I'll say is, if the Celtics added Melo, I'd probably stop being a Celtics fan.
What if you guys get Larry Bird? He steps out from Indiana. You guys pick up Larry Bird as a president.
You guys could sign D Rose in the offseason. Then you're really set.
Yeah, you get everybody. It'd be awesome. You'd be the new.
Maybe even swing a move for Noel. I mean.
Thanks, James. Hello and welcome back inside the key. Elias Olzain alongside Dave Tripp.
What?
Okay. Will Macklin.
What up? What up?
And Fuad Ahad.
What's going on, man?
All right. We're all still here with you folks.
Yep.
For our last segment of this episode, we'll hand it over to Will for question period.
Yes, sir. All right. I kind of mentioned the first segment, but comparably, how do you feel about Charles Barkley's comments about the NHL playoffs being better and more entertaining than the NBA playoffs?
As a hockey fan, I would agree. My team's still in the playoffs, so I'm very much compelled by
our team.
Our team. Come on, guys.
It's our city.
I've been following this team my whole life.
We're
it's my
in,
team.
Right? We're all in like the Cavs.
Yeah, you guys can jump on my bandwagon. I'm okay with that. Plenty of room. Plenty of room.
Listen,
but
Eric Karlsson.
Yeah, so hey, the guy's one of the best.
All right, that's enough
ever.
Hockey talk.
No, I agree.
By the way, Dave did not watch one Sens game during the season.
You know what? I pretty much didn't. It was with the Wildcats and the NBA and this podcast.
Yeah,
I didn't have a lot of time
that's
for
fair,
it.
Fair, yeah.
So,
I don't think most people in the city do.
Yeah.
I didn't expect the Senators to do what they did this year with the new coach and everything, but we're not talking about
Carlson's
this nonsense.
The Westbrook of the NBA.
He totally is. Only he's way. He doesn't make the same mistakes Westbrook does.
Round,
yeah. It's true.
I feel like the only thing I like about the NHL playoffs, obviously they're more like intense. I think the teams maybe
much
stack
more,
up
much
better.
More parity for sure.
Yeah, that's the only difference. And who doesn't like next goal wins?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when it goes to overtime and you have that next goal wins, there's no better format than
it
that.
Exactly.
I enjoy that. You know, I watch hockey playoffs. You know, if it's a 2-1 game or if it's a tie game with like 7 minutes to go in the third period,
it's exciting for sure.
That's when I'll tune in.
Refs throw the whistles away.
I agree with Charles Barkley 100%, but it does come to the formatting of each league and each sport. It's so much more exciting to be like sudden death, whoever scores. This is they
you know,
win,
like
amazing,
finish
you know?
Him, Mortal Kombat style.
Right, exactly.
It's true. And I think it's important for Barkley to come out and say this because it is, a lot of people are thinking it. A lot of basketball fans are saying, why mm-hmm. bother? Why am I going to watch four games every series, you know what I mean? And then mm-hmm. wait for the final. Everybody's going to watch the final. It's going to be incredible. It is every year.
That's the thing. I think that's the difference. I think the final is better.
Yeah. It's the third
NHL?
Year of this,
like,
and they've added KD. It's going to be incredible.
Yeah,
possibly you get, like, you're going to get the Senators and Preds. Like, as a casual as a casual hockey fan, like, you're like, no, thank you. But in the other one, you're going to get the Warriors and
the
Cavs.
So exactly. The two best teams in the NBA.
Exactly.
That, as a casual sports fan, I'm like, that's the one I want to watch. That's what I know about. The last 2 years, it's been amazing. That went to Game 7. This one's going to be crazy. So I think that's the difference here. The final is what I want in the NBA. Maybe the playoffs is the NHL. That's just... It's just more fun, so to speak.
It's because the teams are more balanced.
Exactly. Now, that's my second question. Do you think maybe, this is not going to happen ever, but they should adopt what the NHL does in how they seed? I think NHL way is whack, first of all, but because you've got teams like the Rangers who had better records.
Yeah, I think it's totally stupid.
They're playing a road game for game one, you know what I mean? So it's a tough way to do it, but I can't see it happening.
What I like about the way the NHL does it is that every year you have to beat the same teams to get through. And, like, for example, I'm from Ottawa. I like the Senators. We're going to have to beat the Canadiens or the Bruins or the Leafs every year to get to the next round. And I like the rivalry that comes with that, right? Like, every year I'm going to see my Erik Karlsson go head-to-head with Austin Matthews or whatever. Like, again, we're talking Erik hockey. Karlsson. This is going way too far. But, like, the fact is, like, I like the built-in rivalries. But I still like the NBA playoff format better because it doesn't reward teams. It doesn't, like, punish teams for being in the wrong division. Like, that's just stupid to me. Yeah. This wild card system, it's a joke. It's like a tactic to get people to be more interested. Oh, wild card.
Yeah,
what
the
a
NFL
joke.
Does it, and so does the Major League Baseball. But I think
it's not a 16-team playoff format, right? So
how about you flip the conferences? Do you maybe do best 16 teams?
Nah, I don't like that.
Overall,
the travel would be ridiculous. You'd have to put games two games apart. Like, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Again, how do you feel about June 1st being the automatic date for the NBA Finals? We might be, if there's two sweeps here, possibly, we're gonna be waiting for like 2 weeks, a week and a half. For basketball.
That's like a bye week in the NFL. I don't like that.
Exactly. Like that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
When you got a week after the Super Bowl. How do you feel about it? Do you think we just should just have a to be announced?
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
It should be... I think so. But I think because the NBA, the finals has always been in June, or they want it as late as possible or whatnot. And they have that set date, June 1st, the NBA finals. Hopefully they're thinking that the conference finals are going to be longer than 4 or 5 games.
They won't be.
No, they won't. So it is tough because then we're going to be out of basketball for a bit and we're all going to be like sitting here looking at each other. And
we're going to be watching the Preds and the Sens.
Yeah, we're going to be watching hockey until the NBA finals start. But you know, when the finals start, we're all going to be like glued to our TVs. So maybe it will be worth the wait. Who knows? I don't like it though, but.
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah. I'll go to the NBA draft here for my boy Tripper. If I'm Fultz or Ball or Fox or Josh Jackson, who do I not want to play for in that top kind of 5-6?
You better not say the Lakers.
I mean, Lonzo obviously wants to play for the Lakers, but...
I don't know. It's kind of this catch-22. Yeah, the Kings, they have 2 picks, in the lottery, so...
Yeah, 8th and...
You know what,
10th.
You're going to get an opportunity to go to the Kings and be a part of an actual rebuild. So be on the ground floor. They're going to get 2 really good picks. That wouldn't be a bad scenario for a rookie. You're going to get the opportunity to start games as a rookie.
You'll play with Buddy Hield,
It won't be like this year where a bench guy wins the rookie of the year. There'll be a starter pushing for sure.
I guess
it'd be building around
them.
One,
really, eh?
I don't know. Maybe you got a chance to win a championship with the Celtics, but you may be coming off the bench. Markelle Fultz may be coming off the bench because is he better than Avery Bradley or Isaiah Thomas? I don't know. So,
maybe in the long run he will be, but that's not a bad situation for a rookie coming off the bench and having a chance at winning a title.
But
I think you would take that.
You look at a guy like Jacob Poeltl.
To win.
You look at a guy like Jacob Poeltl, gets drafted by the Raptors last year in the lottery. What has he done this year? This was a top 10 pick. Yeah. Whose career? People aren't even talking about it.
Wasn't even in that cast.
He got buried behind Pascal Siakam in their friggin' lineup. I mean, like...
905 chance,
it isn't
though.
Always a good opportunity to get buried. Need to make an impression.
That's a tough thing. Like, there's two sides to it in my mind. Is you get drafted by some... Let's say the Boston Celtics. Then, you know, the experience of going through the playoffs, potentially getting to the finals, things like that, that's huge. But... if you're not on the floor playing, that stunts your growth as an NBA player.
Does a team that's that that has that much veteran leadership start a rookie or play a rookie in the playoffs, or does he sit on the bench? Like, Jalen Brown's playing 10 minutes a game, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not giving him anything. Yeah. The experience is great, but I don't know. Brooklyn doesn't have a pick, so there really isn't a terrible place to go right now.
The yeah. Knicks, I think, would be the worst of all of the choices.
But you'll be living in New York and stuff like that.
When it comes to the lifestyle, that's
and
cool, yeah.
There's no way they're bringing Rhodes back, so if they get a point guard, that might not be the best scenario. Another getting thing? Your 7-8 assists a game, setting up the zinger.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. I'm looking at this mock draft. Now they got Dennis Smith dropping from NC State all the way to New York. So
yeah, well, there's five elite point guards in this draft.
It's a point guard heavy league to begin with. So it's
you're going to need a guard to win games in the NBA.
For sure.
And the draft lottery is on Tuesday, by the way, May 16th.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And to flip that, best situation, I think Philly is on the up and up. And I like the idea. And then we're going to talk about Lowry, too. I think Lowry has mutual...
We'll love to go back to the Sixers.
I actually think the Sixers are starting to load up a little bit, depending on where you... If it's Malik Monk, they need a shooter. He'd be a perfect fit in Philly. But they don't need a lot of other things. They got too many forwards.
The thing with Lowry is that it's not only going back home. He'd reunite with Brian Colangelo, the guy that traded for him and signed him to an extension in Toronto.
Yeah.
Lowry's going to have...
Who believes in him, right? So there's almost... There's going back home, yes, but then you have a GM or president there that believes in you, obviously, because he traded for you when he was in Toronto and gave you that extension and is willing to pay you. And he knows the type of guy you are and the type of intensity and work ethic that you bring to the game. But I believe Kyle Lowry said that he is interested in getting a ring. And I don't know if Philly's the top
right
choice.
For that.
Definitely.
Yeah, the top destination to win a championship in the coming.
I
mean, if San Antonio
has
mutual...
I'm going to say it right now, though. I'm going to say it right now, though.
The Clippers.
If the Celtics, if Ben Simmons comes back healthy, if Embiid can play 50-plus games next year, they're a playoff team.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Or
yes.
The Sixers, they're a playoff team.
Eighth or seventh seed.
But what happened a year from that, where are they? Did they win their division? I mean, like, seriously, the sky is the limit for this team if they can stay healthy.
Ben Simmons and Ben's, he is getting old, but Ben Simmons looked good in his little workout video that I saw recently warming up. Won't
Lowry
play in summer league, apparently, but Simmons looks good.
Yeah.
Lowry might not even be the primary ball handler on that team.
Yeah, if you have Ben Simmons in there, Lowry...
Dario Saric, everybody can handle
exactly,
the ball.
Exactly.
So. The Raptors, do you want to re-sign Lowry? Do you want to be that 50?
No, you want to sign him, but not to a maximum contract. If you can if you can do that, sure. If he wants the $200 million, if he wants the $200 million or whatever the number is over the 5 years, I'm sorry, you're going to have to take a pass.
But how does DeRozan get the max and not Lowry?
DeRozan is the best player on that team.
Lowry... makes DeRozan look very good.
That's true.
And
if
DeRozan's by himself without Lowry, things are going to change. They're going to be a 44-win team in the East.
If you lose Lowry, do you want to keep DeRozan?
What's the point?
I think
it's easier to get rid of DeRozan than if you let Lowry walk.
Sure.
DeRozan, you kept him because Masai probably thought, like, I can go out and get Ibaka or make some trades and try to make a run at it in Lowry's last year. But DeRozan, he was there. He's the franchise. He's getting up there in all the categories, right? His maximum is less long-term than what Lowry is, and he is younger, and he's gotten better every single year. But I was still not happy with the contract that he got because he hasn't proven himself in the playoffs.
Maybe you trade him to the Lakers for that Lonzo pick.
No, I don't think the Lakers are interested in DeMar DeRozan.
I don't think so either.
They would have signed him.
Maybe trade him to Brooklyn for the next four firsts. Yeah. I mean, anything's
That's
possible.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Lakers are still pissed off they didn't get Harrison Barnes. So.
No, I don't think so. I think they're happy with letting him. I think they're pissed off with the contracts they have of Luol Deng and Timofey Mozgov. I think that's what they're mad about.
They're happy with those.
No, let us know what you think. Where a player is going to land? Who should teams draft? Should the Raptors go after Lowry and give him that max, or would he be better off in Philly or San Antonio or New Orleans, who's probably desperate for a point guard if they don't sign Jrue Holiday? The email once again is the3nikki@gmail.com, on Facebook @3nikki. Follow on Twitter @BasketPod, on Instagram @the3nikki, and you can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, and of course on the Almighty Baller Radio Network. And you can hear us locally in Ottawa on Sunday nights at 8 o'clock on CKDJ 107.9. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes and Google Play as well.
I got a question. Just a some ear candy for the listeners out there, and maybe we'll put this out on Facebook or something. Who would you sign if you're a GM out there? You got all the money in the world. You're making it look that last push. Would you sign Chris Paul or Kyle Lowry? What do you think?
I'm taking notes.
Let's get back to that next week.
We'll get back to that. So look out for on our Facebook page for that question. Personally, I would pick Chris Paul. I'm just going to don't need to wait till next week. Maybe next week I'll come up with the numbers. But
do that, I'll think about it.
And then it'll be Chris Paul. And check out our website. Everything is there. 3nikki.ca. 4 Fuad Ahad, Dave Tripp, Will Macklin. I'm Elias Olzain. Peace.